You're listening to the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast hosted by Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, and Brad Tarver. Just about one more week, fellas, about 9 more days, and then we'll get ourselves a new iPhone, a new Apple TV, a new Apple Watch. You guys excited?
I'm very excited. I can't wait to get an Apple Watch, finally, now that I've waited, 3 generations?
Brad, does your voice ever actually sound excited?
I don't think Brad's capable of sounding excited.
We're excited! We're excited!
Yes, I'm very excited.
It's iPhone edition time!
I didn't realize I was that monotone all the time.
I sound like Val Kilmer in Batman Forever. Yes, I'm Batman.
Yeah, we're real excited, Brian. I know I am. I can't wait for my full screen iPhone to take over the world and AR kit and all that good stuff that goes along with it all.
Same here. So speaking of Apple Watch, let's jump right into things. There's an article this week where I guess the director of the fitness lab for Apple Watch talked about, you know, what it's been like to have this lab for 5 years, which is kind of interesting because the Apple Watch has only been officially available for 2.5. So they were doing quite a bit of testing before, you know, the thing was ever released. And they say that they've collected more data on activity and exercise than any other human performance study in history.
That's a bold claim, right? Their numbers are all very big numbers. So maybe it's all true, but that's kind of a crazy claim to think that there hadn't been any other kind of long-term medical studies or anything like that that's been this big. But it's fascinating the things that they're doing and, you know, the people that they have all exercising together and the pool and the mask and the money that they're putting into this watch. You think about when the watch first came out and they were comparing it to Rolexes and Tags and all these other kind of things and saying, you know, how is Apple going to compete with all those historical watchmakers? And I think the answer here is that they've put so much money into developing the technology that's in this little bitty watch that they have overcome those watchmakers. And what was it? We talked about it a couple episodes ago that they're selling more watches than anybody, but maybe Rolex now, which I'm guessing with this new one, especially if it has LTE built in, they'll probably zoom right past Rolex, because if anybody's been waiting, that's probably one of the one things they've been waiting for.
I don't know about longest term studies. I mean, there's definitely been studies that have lasted longer than 5 years. I realize this is totally about your health and whatnot as far as exercise and whatnot, but there's definitely been psychological studies and stuff that lasted longer than 5 years.
The article itself points to that most of these studies top out at about 100 participants, where they've had over 10,000 participants.
Is that just because of the anonymized data that's going into their network, or these are actual, they've got somebody on a bike and they're watching them that closely for 10,000 people?
I think they've had 10,000 people that have come through in terms of employees that are working out. It says 10,000 workout sessions, and we don't know the exact number of people that have been through there, but considering the thousands of employees that they have, it would be easy to, you know, if you're cycling through, no pun intended, different groups of employees, you could have, it would be easy for them to hit those numbers, I think. And I think this is contiguous too. I mean, this is something that's been going on 4 years with different participants. I don't know. If they say that, I'm kind of tempted to believe that there's something to that.
So if you work out in the Apple company gym, you have to sign a waiver that says we can use all of the data while you work out in the gym, but you're welcome to work out as much and as often as you like.
It's kind of like one of those things where if you work for a corporate environment, sometime during the fall, everybody shows up to some large conference room and everybody gets their flu shots. It's sort of like that, where they roll in the monitors and stuff into the Apple gym and they just say, well, today we're going to monitor everybody's stuff. And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day.
Yeah, it's like every day at Apple. Like that one day a year at other companies, it's every day at Apple.
I think it's kind of cool that they have $40,000 masks that can analyze the calories burned, oxygen consumption, and all those types of metrics that they're using to try to mimic on the watch.
That's a hell of a CPAP.
18,000 hours of fitness data over 10,000 workout sessions in 2015 to 66,000 hours and 33,000 sessions now. They also, one of the things that came out was they had an endless pool where they do the waterproof testing abilities of the Apple Watch, and a trio of rooms mimicking intense temperature and pressure conditions called higher, faster, stronger, which is fascinating to me because I guess they could simulate you being below sea level, they could simulate you being on a mountain, they could do lots of different things with that. So with all the workouts that I've done with this, I have noticed, at least from a heart rate perspective, the watch seems incredibly accurate. So oftentimes I will check the data that I'm getting off my watch with manual, what do you call it? Like if I'm using the elliptical and they have the feedback where you grip the handles and it'll take your heart rate that way. The Apple Watch and whatever I'm doing are often almost exactly in sync, regardless of the equipment that I've been using. That wasn't always the case. It seemed like the green laser used to be a little less accurate, but I've noticed that it lines up remarkably to the point that I trust it a lot more than I did in the past. I've been very happy with it. I can't wait to see what the new one's going to look like. I know it seems weird because the watch has usually been considered sort of the least impressive of all the things that they announce, but I'm really waiting for that day when the apps get a lot faster. I mean, the fitness stuff is already top-notch, but...
I trust the heart rate. I mean, because when I'm on my bike, it basically just says you're close to death, and I feel like I'm close to death when I'm on those long rides, so it's definitely believable and accurate.
So let's see what else is going on. Amazon adds multi-room audio for the Echo Dot and show with third-party support on the way. Gee, I can't imagine why they're doing this.
It makes me want to get more rooms.
Yeah, you would be the one who would like it the most, but you only have the one room, so that's...
I know, it's crazy, right? The first time I saw it, I was like, ooh, I need another Echo Dot so I can do this. And I'm like, well, damn, I don't really have another room to put it in. So that's kind of...
Well, you could just put one in each corner of the room and have really cool stereo.
There you go. I'll just have a polyphonic. Wasn't that the term from the 70s?
It is kind of neat that they're doing this, but I don't know. Kind of wonder why they didn't do it before now. I mean, I know why they're doing it now, but why not before now? It's not like, you know, you didn't have Sonos and things like that. It seems like it wouldn't have been that difficult of a feature for them to implement.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to add in is, I mean, is this a Sonos killer or what? Like, Sonos's biggest plus or the biggest thing Sonos has going for it, besides, I mean, they have good audio quality in their speakers, but, you know, multi-room, multi-everywhere, all synced up, and now you can buy a $50 Echo Dot and plug it up to any speaker you want, and it does the exact same thing that Sonos does for you. I mean, without some fancy Sonos interface, but I personally love the Spotify interface when I'm working with my Echo, because I mean, I can play anywhere, do anything. This is a real game changer. And Sonos, I mean, I think the CEO from Sonos saw it coming, because I think a couple months ago, you know, they had talked about trying to add things like the smart send to their speakers and stuff like that, because they were just going to get blown by. And Apple's got their speaker coming now. Amazon's done this, so it's going to play hell with Sonos and their market share, or, you know, their bottom line.
Until Sonos comes out with a smart speaker, I really think they're not really in the game anymore as far as what we're seeing with what the HomePod is going to be and what the Echo is. You know, you're going to see people who are just audiophiles and they just think, oh, I don't need a smart speaker. And that might be the market for Sonos. But I really see all focus going to either the Echo or the HomePod. And I really feel like that's why they're doing this with the Alexa Play My Music Everywhere. It's just really to be a direct competitor with the HomePod once it finally drops.
I would say that the Sonos has much better audio quality than the Echoes or the Echo Dots. I mean, that's still a differentiating factor. The Echoes and the Echo Dots sound like garbage next to a Sonos or I'm assuming a HomePod.
I mean, you can plug the Dot into whatever you want. So you could plug the Dot into a nicer speaker. It's not, you know, it's still going through a whatever, it's a quarter inch jack, you know, which, you know, there's only so much quality you can get through there. But still, you know, you could plug the Dot into a nice speaker. But yeah, I understand what you're saying there.
It becomes inelegant at that point. I mean, it just, well, if I could do that, then, you know, I could, I don't know. It just seems like if I'm going to go to that kind of trouble, I'd get something that sounds good instead of something that's just like, it's good enough.
A week or two ago, they put the portable one on sale. I can't even remember the name of it now. Maybe y'all could throw that out. I almost bought one. They really marked them way down. The Echo that's got the built-in battery that you can like take with you, and it's like the portable Bluetooth speaker that's got Echo built into it. They've got one of those. I almost bought one because I'm like, I could just throw it in my luggage and use it at the hotel and then have my Alexa everywhere. I resisted the urge.
Do you really use it for anything other than Spotify?
I use it for weather. I use it for morning news. That's probably about it. I don't know. Maybe I would use it for more if I had it everywhere.
My wife and I both use a list app called AnyList, and they just recently added support for Amazon Echo. So now I can say, hey, lady, add this to my shopping list. And we weren't able to do that before. And we've already been through about four or five shopping lists or list apps. And I wasn't going to switch again to something else. We've tried Wunderlist and a few others. So I'm pretty excited that they added that this week, in fact.
That's a cool feature, Brad. I've used AnyList before for shopping lists. That would be really useful. I mean, you can do that with Siri now with reminders and stuff like that. I know this because I have a family sharing account and my mother is on it. And every now and then she ends up with stuff in the wrong reminders list. And so I'll end up with stuff in this family reminders list that we don't use. She lives a couple states away. But every now and then I'll end up with pick up this or do this or that or the other in the family reminders list on my phone. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, Alexa supports Todoist, which is also something that I use as well. And that's native integration as well, which is kind of nice. All of it becomes moot when the HomePod finally comes out, though. All bets are off.
So you think they'll announce anything about HomePod this week or give us any more news about it or any more like a better target date or anything like that coming up? Or they may not mention it at all.
I think it has to at least warrant a mention. I'd be surprised if they didn't mention it just to keep it fresh in people's mind that this is a thing that's coming, lest anyone forget. People like us won't forget, but, you know, just to keep it in the minds of normal folks, of a reminder, this is coming out at Christmas.
I walked across the street to Witch Witch yesterday to pick up my sandwich order, and I walked in, and the girl behind the register goes, are those headphones in your ears? What is that? And I'm like, yeah, they're just Apple AirPods. And I pulled one out and handed it to her, and she's looking at it, and she goes, it ain't got no wires. I'm like, no, it's just Bluetooth, and it just, you know, it just works. And these things have been out almost a year, and she was just like, what is that? You know, and like I still get that a lot of different places where I walk in someplace in AirPods and people don't know these things exist. And maybe it's because you just can't go and order one or buy them anywhere because they're so amazing that, you know, they're still selling out. But I just think that's crazy. A year after they're out and people are like, what is that in your ear?
I realize that we're not industry insiders or anything, but it just seems funny how non-closely people follow the news. And I realize we're talking specifically about tech news. This isn't exactly Hurricane Harvey or, you know, North Korea or anything like that. But it just seems odd that people are that unplugged, especially if you own an Apple device and you say, I love my Apple iPhone.
Unplugged.
All right, exactly. No wires.
Well, sometimes you don't see a lot of commercials. I've seen a handful of commercials for the AirPod, but not as many as I would have expected. You've seen the guy who walks on the side of a building, and you've seen like a few of those black and white commercials, but not a lot of commercials for the AirPods.
They don't have to. They're selling them as fast as they can make them, and they don't have commercials. So why spend money on commercials if you can't even make them fast enough, right? I think the AirPod is going to be this Christmas's hot item. Like, by this Christmas, it'll finally be around enough to where they're going to go right back on back order and be the super hot item because it's they're finally making their way into the more main, you know, just more people knowing about them. And there's also other brands that are coming out with competitors to them that would make talking about this kind of technology more in the mainstream, like the new Sonys that are coming out, which we can talk about at another time. Just throwing that out there.
Agreed. So let's see what else. Screen sharing is coming with iOS 11. Did you guys see this?
That's pretty awesome stuff. I know that every now and then there'll be somebody saying, well, I can't do this. And I just think in the back of my head, man, if Apple would just allow us to do screen sharing or remote control, just like I can do on people's Mac or PC desktop.
I call those people mom and dad.
I've wanted this for so long. I didn't see this article this week until I checked the show notes, went and read the article. And I am very excited for this because I will readily admit I play these crazy geocaching, geolocation type games. And there are infinite possibilities with having a device in another location that you own, that you just send to somebody that lives somewhere else, that you could do if you could just control the iOS device in another place.
Jim, you cheater.
That's the first thing I thought of is, you know, I could send a device to Europe and, you know, be able to pick up objects there and pick up objects here. That's the first thing I thought of. There's definitely other things, like when mom calls up, like she did a couple weeks ago, and something wasn't working with her phone, and I kind of just had to walk through it on my phone and tell her what to click. I forget what it was that we were fixing on her phone, but I just kind of had to walk her through it on the phone. Okay, click here. And, you know, we got it done. But if we could screen share, then, you know, obviously the same thing as, you know, Brian, I think family is the biggest benefactor here with this technology, but it also help us gamers as well.
Cheat on your games, yeah.
Well, maybe. So I remember last year when I was in Montana, I wanted to buy, I guess Mega Millions had gotten pretty high. It's like, I'll buy a lottery ticket. So I was going to connect back. I took my iPad, I VPN'd into my house. So the lottery software would think I was in my house. And he goes, nope, you're on a VPN, won't let you do it. So I do a remote connection into my Mac at home, load up the website, go to buy it. Nope, you're running a VPN, you're connected remotely, there's a remote session connected, not going to let you do it.
Wow.
It foiled every single trick that I tried. I ended up having to go down the mountain to a grocery store or something, to a gas station, and buy a lottery ticket in person like a savage. Don't count on that necessarily happening. Last year, my parents were cord cutters, and they wanted to watch the playoff games for the NFL, and they didn't have any local TV stations on their DirecTV Now or whatever it is they have. So what I did, you know, I have the HD Home Run. I set them up a VPN so they could VPN into my house and then use the Channels app to watch my TV as if they were local, and then AirPlay it to the television, to the Apple TV, which actually worked remarkably well. But having to talk them through that process, I had to make them a VPN profile, tell them to go to this URL, load it up, and then how to AirPlay. And it would have been so much easier if I could have just taken control of the iPad and said, okay, here we go. Press the button here. You're set.
Now, I have a similar situation. It's not quite as convoluted as yours, Brian. But, I mean, my dad will say, hey, how do I do this on my phone? You know, I'll just get a text message from him saying, how do I do this? And it would be so nice to be able to remote into his phone and just do it. But I wind up, you know, taking a series of screenshots on my phone and, you know, highlight around the button you need to press. And then the next when, you know, highlight the button you need to press.
Brian's mom's like, ladies, guess how nerdy my son is.
VPN for the NFL playoffs. It's great. I mean, that, honestly, you got to admit, there's a benefit to having gigabit with one gig up and one gig down, and that is the benefit of being able to stream HD to your parents 350 miles away. It's fantastic.
I should have just watched the fight from last weekend from your house, right? I could have just streamed it from there. I ended up watching the whole thing on Periscope, just hopping from channel to channel.
To be honest, I did something similar too, where I was packing to get ready to go to Vegas, and I didn't realize due to the time change, it was going to be terrible and it was going to be late. So I ended up just like, I'll get this later. Incidentally, when I got to Vegas, I was staying where the fight was, right next to the Cosmopolitan and the T-Mobile Arena and all that. And there were so many people still there that you could get five bars and get nothing, get no cell service. It was terrible until probably Sunday night when everybody left.
Get out, people. I need my internets.
Seriously, the fight's over, folks. Nothing to see here. Move along. But no, I'm really happy about this. I think the screen sharing is going to make this, everything that happens like this makes iOS a much more mature OS, and there's less reliance on something that you would need macOS for. I mean, each little thing just chips away at the needing macOS as a day-to-day operating system, and I love it.
Oh yeah, this, I mean, I gotta wonder if it will require some sort of answer from the other end, where if you want to, like, if I want to connect into my Mac over something like Parallels Access now, you know, nobody's got to be on this end to say, yes, you can access this Mac, you know, where if this really works like it's supposed to, I would be tempted to try to buy the cheapest iPad that would allow this functionality just to leave here at my house plugged in if I needed to, you know, to do anything from here.
All Pokemon related, right?
Yeah, or a couple other games that shall not be named.
Oh, well, okay. Moving right along. Siri leadership moves from Eddie Q to Craig Federighi. Air Force One inherits Siri. You know, honestly, I always thought this was the case. I was really surprised that Eddie Q was in charge of Siri. And the reason that I'm so surprised about that is that it's such a crucial and integral part of Apple's strategy going forward, being able to talk to something. I mean, it's a platform unto itself. It's practically an operating system, not just a feature, in my opinion. It seems weird that this was not always here. What do you guys think about that?
I'll be honest, I didn't know which one ran it, and I don't really see the significance of it moving from one to the other. I think they're both senior vice presidents or whatever they're called, you know, senior, like, I mean, you know, we know their names. We know what they look like. These are, you know, the top of the food chain at Apple. So, you know, I know there's been some transfer of powers in the past over certain things. And, you know, did you see this one as more of a Siri is not doing what it's supposed to be, so we're going to let Craig give it a shot now, or Eddie's just got too much to do, we're going to give it to Craig now? I mean, what is this a good thing for Craig or a bad thing for Eddie? I mean, which way does this fall?
I think it's a good thing for Craig. I mean, if you look at it, if you look at the stuff that Eddie oversees, so you have the iTunes Store, Apple Music, Apple Pay, Apple Maps, iCloud, iWork, and iLife. At least in the case of Apple Pay and Apple Music and iTunes, those are things that require someone with contractual finesse. I mean, how hard is it to run a music store? How hard is it, once you get the technology to make the payments happen, it's more or less establishing relationships to get that technology into the hands of other people. iCloud and iWork and iLife, I don't know, it's kind of questionable. I would almost argue that Apple Maps and iCloud probably belong with Craig as well. But seeing something like macOS and iOS, those are fundamental to Apple's strategy. I mean, those are the crown jewels, and I would argue that Siri is as well. Every time that you, if you want people to rely on Siri, it has to work a lot better than it does now. Look at how much effort that Amazon is putting into Alexa. Look at how much effort that Google is putting into their Google Assistant, right? This is where the next war will be fought, right? The mobile operating system is one of the most, what's the word?
We've moved from touch control to voice control here, and voice control is where everything is moving.
Right.
And the AI behind the voice control is really what voice control is, right? I mean, it's without the AI, voice control is useless.
Right.
So it's
maybe now that they're giving it or moving it over to Craig, we'll see some parity between the macOS version of Siri and the iOS version of Siri also.
That would be great.
Good point, Brad. Good point, Barry. Because I don't use Siri on my Mac at all, ever. Disabled. Goodbye.
Which makes no sense to me considering how much you like to talk to your Echo.
I just like to talk, Brian.
That's why I figured you'd love Siri on any device. If it actually did HomeKit and some of the other things, I would probably use it on my Mac more. But I'm hoping that that's going to be the case. I really want to see Apple Maps move over there as well, because I think that's one of the reasons it's had the problems that it has, is that it's sort of like an, oh yeah. I mean, think about, are you really happy with Apple Music? Are you really happy with the iTunes Store? Are you really happy with iWork and iLife? I mean, you look at these things and they're good. They're good enough in most cases, but they're not great. It doesn't seem like they iterate as much as macOS and iOS do. So, you know, if Apple Pay accepts a credit card, then the only problem that I need now is to have as many places in the world take it. That's an Eddie Q strong point, going through and negotiating, here, take this technology. But if you want something that's kind of cool, that's actually going to work and be reliable, I would argue that Craig's organization is probably more responsible for those types of things than Eddie's. Or at least you don't hear people complain about Craig's technology as much as you hear people complain about Eddie's technology, I would say. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
I was wondering also, it's just, you know, maybe Eddie's just got too much on his plate. You know, he says like a list of 5 things and Craig only has a list of maybe 3 things on his plate. You know, major projects or your major products. Maybe they're just trying to not necessarily lighten Eddie's load, but maybe bring Siri more into sort of the or under the umbrella that is closer to what Craig does than closer to what Eddie does anyway.
Siri, more than software or some other like Apple Music or iTunes or Maps or iWork, Siri is part of macOS and iOS. It's not a piece of software in macOS or iOS. It should be an integral part of the operating system. So I think that's probably where this makes the most sense. It should be baked into the OS, period. And since Craig runs the OSs, that's where this should be.
Agreed. Let's see what else is going on. So it looks like Apple is eyeing a lease at the Culver Studios, and they're bidding on a high-profile drama. So we talked about this, I think, in the last episode where, you know, Apple's putting in $1 billion toward TV production and leasing space at a studio. It looked like at first they were going to be using it for productions, but I guess now it's mostly as office space. So apparently they're bidding against Netflix and others for a high-profile drama set on a morning TV chat show with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. And they're wanting to do premium production similar to HBO. You guys excited about this?
I'm not sure if I'm excited about the premise of the show. I guess I'm excited about, you know, them taking on some larger television or original programming, you know, tasks. I mean, I do. I know you don't like Reese Witherspoon. I do, however, and I do like Jennifer Aniston. But like I said, I don't think the premise is going to be that good. Although, you know, Jennifer Aniston is more sort of seems like she's more based in comedy than drama. I mean, I know she did that one movie with Jake Gyllenhaal.
The Good Girl.
That was dramatic. The Good Girl, that was it. But, you know, she's usually always comedy. So I'm trying to figure out what this is going to be because, you know, Reese Witherspoon has always been sort of a drama role outside of that blonde, Legally Blonde series.
I will say she was rather good in the movie Election. I don't know if you've ever seen that from 1999.
Oh, great movie. Great movie.
So yeah, she really nailed it there. And I will say, it's not that I can't stand her necessarily. All I'll say is that her role in Big Little Lies seemed to suit her very well. I couldn't picture another actress playing that role at all.
For me on these things, I always kind of get them on the back end. Like I don't pay much attention to who's doing what or anything until somebody else, like one of you guys or somebody at work, tells me to watch this show. And then I go read about it. I'm like, oh, okay, I need to watch this show. And so I very rarely do I keep up with, you know, Apple or Netflix or somebody's going to be making a show with this person and I know I want to see it and it comes out 6 months from now. For me, most of the stuff that I watch, it's all, you know, it kind of hits the mainstream and everybody's watching it, and so then I go watch it. Whereas with my technology, I'm a serious early adopter. With the TV stuff, I'm more like the girl that says those don't have any wires. You know, I just, you know, it's like, oh, I need to watch this TV show. Okay. And then I'll go home and I'll binge watch it. You know, I'll watch 10 episodes in a weekend and I love it, but I don't seek them out as much as I kind of get news from, you know, just hearsay or, you know, see things on Twitter. Oh, I need to watch that. Kind of like Ozark. I think everybody had watched Ozark by the time I did. And I watched it over a matter of, you know, probably 5 or 6 days. I watched them all and it was really good. I loved it. But, you know, it was just one of those kind of things where I'd never heard of it. And then the next thing I know, 5 days, you know, in, I've already watched the whole thing. So
I still haven't watched it yet. The Breaking Bad cover band.
It's really good. And it's not Breaking Bad. It really isn't. It's money laundering is the only thing that, you know, that they kind of cross paths. You know, you never really see drugs at all in Ozark. So I don't know. It's really good. You know, the acting is good. The characters are really good. I really like some of the characters that they have. And there's actually quite a few characters in Ozark, which I find really interesting. Anyway, you know, like I said, I kind of just catch these things from you guys, especially, you know, Brian's, you know, always like, oh, I watched this or I did this or this. And so it kind of surprises me that I've already like caught on to this one and watched it all and you haven't even started yet.
It's only because I read such tepid reviews that I haven't been that enthusiastic about tackling it. I mean, I will watch it, but, you know, some of the critics that I follow online were pretty harsh on it. So I was kind of like, I'll get to this eventually. I'm going to, but it's not like must see right now.
You know, Laura Linney plays the wife character and she's good in it. She's good in pretty much anything she does. But Jason Bateman is the one that, and of course he's the lead role, but he's the one that really makes the show, because not only is it a dramatic show, but it still has his sort of, I don't know if you call it deadpan or his one-liner humor, but it's just sort of that, you know, snide, snarky comments that he makes. You know, somebody says, well, I just like this. And he's like, well, blah, 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 sort of under his breath. It still has classic Jason Bateman in it, and it's a good show. You should check it out. And it's easy to watch. It's not slow to get into.
Yeah, it launches right in and it stays. There's no like episodes where it's just like, okay, we've got to build up some kind of story here and it's kind of slow and we're building up to something big. Every episode is got really good things that happen, and I mean they keep it exciting over the whole thing. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out. Have you guys tried to, for any of the shows on Apple Music, have you tried to download them to an iPad or anything like that?
No.
No, I haven't.
Last week when I flew, it's like, you know, I'll put some of these carpool karaoke's on here that I haven't seen, and I tried to do it. I hate going through Apple Music to get that stuff. It is the most cumbersome. You download it like a song. Like, you get the little cloud icon, and you hit it, and it'll download. They really, if they're going to get serious about this, move it into the TV app. Move it anywhere else other than Apple Music. It so does not belong there. It is such an awkward fit to where that stuff is. I absolutely hate it. I packed enough entertainment last week, you'd have thought I was going to the moon for a week instead of to Vegas. So it was pretty rough. I will say we did have a Game of Thrones watching party in my hotel room on Sunday night when it aired, which, got to give a shout out to Arya for not blocking their televisions so I could actually remove their HDMI and put mine in and stream it. So that was pretty good. I didn't realize the room had 100 up, 100 down Ethernet that was free. So I streamed it over Verizon, but still not a big deal. Unlimited streaming, 1080p. I got it. So that was nice. Speaking of Apple television, Apple wins the 2017 Technical Engineering Emmy for Siri integration on the Apple TV. which I thought is pretty cool. I actually use Siri quite a fair amount on the Apple TV. I use the, what did he say? When you can't hear something, or I'll use the jump ahead 30 seconds. I use that a lot in Plex, or, you know, jump back 30 seconds or whatever it is. And I know that I don't think DirecTV Now and PlayStation View, I don't think they support that. But I'll use it for things like, you know, what's the temperature or what time is it? Or, you know, turn this on or off if my phone is not, you know, immediately at arm's length or I don't have my watch on, which is pretty rare. But sometimes I'll do it. You guys ever use Siri on the Apple TV?
I do. I don't really use it for the search functions. I'd use it more for your examples where I'll ask it what time it is or whatever. And that's really just, you know, I'll ask what time it is so I can, because I try to go to bed at the same time every night. So I know that I can stop the show and come back to where I left off. Did you know that on the new Apple TV, or what do they call it, tvOS beta, that you can single touch the touch surface on the remote and it'll toggle between time elapsed and the actual time? So it'll show you like what time your show is going to be over. So it'll show like the where the playhead is, it'll say like 9:08 p.m. and, you know, and then at the end of the the chronological timeline, it'll say, you know, 9:38 or 9:58 or whatever time your show is going to be over, which is kind of neat.
That is nice. What are your overall impressions of the tvOS beta since you're actually using it and we're not?
I haven't seen a lot of change. There is now with the last beta that came out in time with the public beta 6 for iOS, which was, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they added the feature where it syncs your home screen apps. And that wasn't there right after I updated to the latest, you know, when I first put the beta on there. So that was added after the fact. But that's, of course, I don't have more than one Apple TV, so I've not been able to try that feature out. But overall, it doesn't seem that much different. It will auto change between dark mode and light mode based on the time of day, which is neither here nor there to me. I don't really care about that. Some people, I guess, like that.
I usually leave mine in dark mode all the time, but...
Same here.
I don't like turning off a dark movie and then being blinded by the bright white screen. Just, What about you, Jim? You use Siri on the Apple TV when you use your Apple TV when you're at home?
I don't for the things like time and temperature. I use Alexa for that because she's sitting right there beside it. But I do very often use, you know, rewind 30 seconds, rewind 1 minute, things like that very often. When I was watching Narcos, that was like every couple of minutes, it was, you know, rewind this, because if I ended up like multitasking or something and then they're speaking Spanish the whole damn show.
You cannot multitask while watching Narcos. I learned that a long time ago.
There is no time in my life that I felt like I needed to learn Spanish more than when watching Narcos, because I love the show so much, but you have to sit down and read the damn screen if you don't know Spanish. You know, it was just constant, like, rewind 1 minute, rewind 2 minutes, rewind 2 minutes. I mean, just the whole time I was watching it, because generally when I'm doing stuff like that at home, you know, I'm not home that much. So I'm washing clothes, or I'm picking up this, or I'm doing that or the other. I have a hard time just sitting still and watching TV. I do watch a lot of shows while I'm home, but I'm doing other things while I'm doing it. But that was a tough one. But other than that, I use it a lot for searching. I'll use, you know, use the audio stuff, but I don't really ask Siri anything that she's got to think about on Apple TV.
Sometimes if I'm watching something on like Netflix or Hulu or whatever, and there's a ball game on where I don't care enough to watch it, but I want to know what's going on, I'll usually just hold up the remote, ask what the score is, it'll tell me, and then I'll just go back to watching. And it's that nice overlay over the screen is, you know, the score is this, blah, 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 blah. And then, okay, back to what I'm doing.
That's neat. I wouldn't have thought to do that. That's a neat use case. I may end up stealing that one.
I do that in the car with CarPlay. I was driving back yesterday after running some errands. You know, I interrupt a podcast and I ask Siri what time the Alabama Florida State game was. Like, you know, what time is it? And, you know, even on CarPlay, oh, it comes on tonight at 7:30. Okay, cool. And, you know, then it just goes back to the podcast. That is a useful feature. And if you do that on your watch, if you ask what the scores are, it'll pop up the logos and the other stuff too. If you've ever tried that on your watch, it's pretty nice. The UI that it'll give you. It'll sometimes do that on the Apple TV too as well. Like if a game's underway, it'll show you the logos and a breakdown of the score by either inning or quarter, depending on the sport. Kind of nice. I like it.
Sports, people, check it out. It's almost as good as tech.
So let's see. I think the last thing we had on our list to talk about was Google is adopting the AR kit strategy with AR Core. So they had a thing called Project Tango. I don't think anyone actually used it. And they've got their own thing that's very similar to AR kit called AR Core. And it's going to be in the S8 and the Pixel. And, you know, as with most Android technology, it's going to be a while before it shows up in any meaningful way due to how long it takes for hardware to support newer releases. So I think iOS is going to have a huge head start here.
Yeah, because there's like 8 people out there that own phones that'll actually run this.
It's always funny that I always follow Robert Scoble's stuff pretty well, and he's been harping on augmented reality for a while now. And one of the things he did, I do his weekly update, and he was saying, you know, it's like everybody that I see has an iPhone, and the money follows where the, you know, the development goes where the money is. And even most of the heads of these VC firms, they all have iPhones. You're going to see this stuff happen on iOS a lot quicker than you're going to see it on Android. To Google's credit, they're trying to also do some of this AR stuff on the web, which I think is a direct result of how long it takes to be able to upload stuff. I mean, to upgrade the operating system on a lot of these devices. I think it's going to be interesting. It is definitely the next big wave, the next big thing. But yeah, I feel bad for those Google folks, that those Android owners it'll be a while before they see it.
Is the Essential phone going to have AR Core as well?
I don't know, but they had a data breach this week where they released driver's license numbers for folks. So thanks for teeing that up for me. Pretty good. Did you see that?
That was not a serious question. I was just kind of joking, but yeah. That's only the 3 people that own one of those phones.
Yeah, the leak couldn't have been that big because, yeah, hardly anyone has with this device.
It's like people who work for Essential Phone. We have all their driver's license numbers now.
I was wondering, it's like, how do you get the driver's license information for these people? I don't think I had to provide that to Apple when I bought an iPhone. What the hell's going on with Essential that you have to give them your driver's license number? I didn't understand. Very excited about the AR kit stuff. We talk about that every week, but man, the things that keep popping up. I don't know if we talked about it in the last show, but there were
like Pokemon.
No, there was a when they were doing the iOS the arrows. They found when they were digging through the leak that came out with the HomePod, they found arrows that were tied with Apple Maps, and I think one of the use cases they were using were like with airports and malls, where you hold it up and it'll tell you where your gate is and that type of thing. So this is going to be huge. I can't wait.
And little men jumping off tables.
That's still the best thing from the developers conference, was seeing that whole demo.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't make you want to go out and adopt whatever game that is, I don't know what will. I mean, that was pretty impressive. Well, I guess that's about all I have. I guess by the next time we talk, it should be new iPhone day.
Woo, new iPhone day, new iPhone day, new iPhone day.
Going to be a cornucopia of announcements.
Get your new phone books.
New phone books, is that what you said?
Yeah, like from the...
The new phone books are here. The new phone books
are here. I was thinking of The Jerk. I'm published. As we reference a movie that came out in 1979.
I'm somebody.
And The Jerk is a classic.
Though. That was on sale a couple of weeks ago for $5 on the iTunes store, and I bought it.
Of course you did.
That movie's fantastic.
No, I know it is. It is.
Speaking of Yellow Pages, they are going out of business. They've been in business for like 50 years, and they're going out of business. They said they're going to publish their last set of yellow books or yellow pages next year.
Wow, I did not hear that. I guess I'm kind of surprised that it still exists now.
I haven't had a home phone. I had one reluctantly in 2006, and that was just out of like there was a situation where I needed one briefly. But other than that, I haven't had a regular home phone probably in 15 years, except for that one stint in 2006. And yet every year, inevitably, I'll walk out onto my front porch and there's like a Yellow Pages that gets dropped off. And I'm like, who pays for this? Like, I didn't ask for this. I don't want this. I don't know why this is even here. You know, I can't remember the last time I didn't use Google to find a phone number ever. I don't understand it. So,
well, people who buy the space in the Yellow Pages are the ones that pay for that book. Now, why they're still distributing it to people who don't have landlines, that I don't know.
Because they just drop it on every door. They're just paying for it to be in front of every customer. And Brad's right. It's the people who are advertising in there are the people who are paying for the book. I mean, and I would think that it was, you know, it'd be worth 100 times worth your money if you were paying Google for ad placement versus getting in some paper book, right? I mean, that's why it's going out of business now.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of funny. I'll put a link to this in the show notes, but there was a tweet that I just pulled up that I saw yesterday that was pretty good. And somebody posted, it was like, Netflix did not kill Blockbuster. Ridiculous late fees did. Uber did not kill the taxi business. Limited access and fare control did. Apple did not kill the music industry. Being forced to buy the full-length albums did. Amazon did not kill other retailers. Poor customer service and experience did. Airbnb isn't killing the hotel industry. Limited availability and pricing options are. And it says, technology by itself is not the disruptor. Not being customer-centric is the biggest threat to any business. And I think that's something that really kind of applies here. I don't need a phone book. I have Google. Why wouldn't you just buy an ad in Google? It's
all of that is great.
It's perfect. I've often thought that, you know, the conventional wisdom tells you the opposite for each one of those things. If you think about it, that's really, there's truth in all of that.
Do you remember, I guess it was, I don't know, 12 or even 15 years ago where they started printing two Yellow Pages to where you'd get the big one delivered to your house. Well, they would deliver two to your house, but there would be a big one they delivered to your house and then a small one that you're supposed to put in your car so that you were...
What?
Yeah, it was like a smaller book. So it was like here in Jackson, we just have one phone book, where I'm sure like in Atlanta or Dallas, you may have three or four phone books as far as, you know, because they can only be so thick, you know, 3 or 4 inches thick. So in Jackson, we have like one phone book that's 3 or 4 inches thick. And then they would deliver another one that was smaller than like the magazine format size. And it wasn't as thick. It might've been an inch thick, but it didn't have any white pages in it. It was only Yellow Pages. And you were supposed to put it like in your car, I guess like in the pocket behind your front seat, so in case you were out and about. And of course everybody had phones by that point, you know, and they were going to be using them in their car. If you needed to look something up in the Yellow Pages, you could do it in your car with this smaller version.
How positively archaic.
Savages.
Indeed.
Well, folks, I think that's about that should do her for this week. Any final words, anything left to add before we call it a show?
I'll just throw in one hottie toddy for the Ole Miss win last night.
Come on, it was South Alabama, but okay.
Hey, a win is a win this season, man. A win is a win this season.
Well, that's true.
Our friend Craig on Telegram, he's a South Alabama fan.
Really?
That's where he went to school.
He graduated from there.
Live and learn. I did not know that. Wow. My apologies to Craig.
He's a bigger Bama fan. He just graduated from South Alabama.
Well, that should do it, folks. So we'll be back fairly soon. I think we haven't discussed it, but I figure we should probably record the night of the announcement if you guys are available, if you can do it, if someone remembers to bring his microphone with him when he travels. Hint, hint.
He who shall not be named?
He who forgets his mic?
I had to pack for 2 weeks, man. Throw me some shade.
Plenty of room in that bag for a little microphone and some headphones then that I know you're taking anyway.
You'd be surprised.
You're going to carry a how much an extra I had a carry on
with 2 weeks of clothes in it. It was like a brick. It was, yeah. I got it all in there though. It was much tougher getting it all back home.
I just went to Vegas for 4 days and I carried 2 full-size suitcases with me and checked them. So no sympathy here.
I don't check bags.
Why?
I don't like waiting for them when I get where I'm going.
What do you got to do that's so important?
I gotta get to work. I hate checking bags. I think it's ridiculous. That's what that overhead space is for.
Nah. Actually, I think they should force everyone to check bags. I think it would be a much better situation.
Hopefully you get on and off the plane a little quicker.
God, yes. And you don't spend time by some jerk who's trying to shove a footlocker into a narrow overhead space. An overpacked suitcase. No, I mean,
he who shall not be named.
I was about to say. No, when you're going to work, like if you're commuting, I totally get it. On the way back, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking from being in an airport the size of Atlanta's, but by the time I get off the people mover and make it to where the baggage carousel is anyway, it's usually just like rolling off. Like I never wait, and it's the way I have to go anyway. So for me, it's a no-brainer. I've only ever had one situation all the years I've been flying where I did a direct nonstop flight, and for some reason mine and about half the plane's bags weren't on the plane. It's like, how do you mess that up from a direct nonstop? There's no moving things around. I was there like 2 hours early. How did you put my stuff on another? How did it miss the flight?
It's like you go from Baltimore to like Pennsylvania on a single, you know, single stop, and your bags are in Hawaii, sir.
You had one job. That's one of those things. You had one job.
Did my bag stop off at the Buffalo Wild Wings to have a beer and some hot wings? I mean, why did I make the flight and they didn't? That just seems really, really weird, especially if you're there so super early. But it was like half the flight they did that too, so I didn't. It wasn't me specifically, but always check your bags.
Never check your bags.
Don't be like Jim. Be like Brian.
Well, I think it's time for a so long, folks.
I think it is, too. I think it is, too. All right. Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. You can find us on Twitter. The Twitter handle for the show is @InfinLoopback. That's @INFINLoopback. I am @BrianB. That's @BrianB. Jim is @BigJim. That's @BigJim. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we hope to talk to you next time.